Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you will remember during the 20th century that there was a movement that affected almost every Christian denomination in the United States. It was called the Charismatic Movement and was largely based on our epistle lesson for today. The word charismatic comes from the Greek word behind gifts, the English word gifts in our text today. You can also hear it in the word charisma. We talk about someone having charisma, being gifted in a certain way. You can hear all of those words are related to one another. Some of these folks in this movement made the argument that certain spiritual gifts had been neglected for a long time. Gifts like speaking in tongues and prophesying. They claimed that the Holy Spirit was reviving these gifts in the church. Some even went so far as to say that if you didn't have one of these gifts, that it was questionable as to whether or not you had the Holy Spirit at all. Basically, you ended up with the division of the haves and the have-nots. And you can imagine that all of this ended up becoming quite divisive. On a large scale, whole denominations split over this matter. On a smaller scale, individual churches were also divided. Without casting dispersions on the movement as a whole, I would assert that there is a sad double irony in this movement. First, the idea of exalting certain spiritual gifts as more desirable and significant than other spiritual gifts was precisely the matter that St. Paul was dealing with in his epistle to the church at Corinth. They were doing that. They were exalting these sign gifts, and it was causing division within that church. His counsel was that every gift was important, and none of these gifts were to be exalted over the others. After all, it was God who apportioned the gifts of his Spirit, and he gave them to each one according to his will. He then, of course, tempers all of this in the very next chapter, chapter 13, where he argues that charity or love is the ultimate gift, which is to be exercised by all, and even is to temper the exercise of spiritual gifts. It's all to be done in love. The second part of this irony is that there are no such categories as haves and have-nots in the Church of Jesus Christ. Every member of the body of Christ has received at least one spiritual gift. As St. Paul says in our text, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The long and the short of this is that the spiritual gifts which God gave to his church were never intended to exalt one member over another, but were given to each Christian in order to benefit the whole church. So in light of this background, let us think for a moment about the spiritual gifts which God has given to the church and the purpose for which he gave them. As I just noted, every member of the church, every Christian, has been given a spiritual gift. We might not be able to exactly pinpoint when that happened. Perhaps it happened at our baptism when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Or maybe it was at our confirmation when the bishop lays hands on us and prays that God would strengthen us and gift us by his Spirit. Furthermore, those who are ordained into ministry receive another laying on of hands with prayer that the empowering gifts of the Spirit would come upon this man in order to effect the ministry to which he has been called. And you'll actually see this on Wednesday night if you come for the consecration of Father Bannock into the bishopric. We actually sing a hymn related to our processional hymn this morning, praying for God to gift this man to fulfill the office to which he has been called. Regardless, every Christian receives a gift of the Spirit. In this sense, we are all, quote unquote, charismatic. There are no haves and have-nots in the church. St. Paul enumerates several of these gifts in our lesson, but this list is by no means exhaustive. There are at least two other lists in the New Testament, and then other gifts are mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament and in the Old, as a matter of fact, in isolation. St. Peter, in his first epistle, seems to categorize all of the spiritual gifts as either gifts of service or gifts of speech. Many who have received one of the gifts of speech are called into vocational ministry, but not all. After all, we have many lay people who serve as teachers, counselors, and even writers. The gifts of service have many manifestations, and I will come back and talk about that in just a few moments. The second part of this equation is the exercise of these spiritual gifts. The apostle tells us, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Each of us needs to look in the mirror and ask, am I using the spiritual gift that God has given me? After all, God gave you whatever gift you have for a reason, for the profit of all, that is, for the benefit of the body of Christ. In one place, Jesus tells us that we're not to hide our lamp under a bushel. No, lamps are to be placed on display so that they might serve the purpose of illuminating. And the same is true of spiritual gifts. They were given to us that we might use them. In another place, Jesus tells a parable in which talents were given to certain individuals by their master so that they might be employed for his benefit. The one who dug a hole and buried his talent was in big trouble when his master returned on the day of reckoning. So there's not a question as to whether we have a spiritual gift. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. The question is, do you know what your gift is, and are you employing it for the glory of God and the benefit of His church? It is interesting that immediately after this discussion, St. Paul goes on to talk about the analogy of the church as the body of Christ and we as the members of the body of Christ. He says immediately after the text we read today, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. In other words, every member of the body is important and has its function. The eye needs the hand, and the hand needs the eye. Rather than being divisive, the members serve one another, and each member is necessary for the body to work properly. Now let's think about how all of this applies to Church of the Holy Communion. We are the body of Christ, after all. And if we're going to accomplish all that God has for us to do here in Far North Dallas, then every member of this body needs to be working in concert with one another. God has brought all of us here for a reason. He has given each of us a spiritual gift, and He expects us to make use of that gift for the benefit of the whole. The placement of this lesson this year is quite timely. 3 weeks from today will be what we call Homecoming Sunday. In some sense, it serves as a kickoff for the upcoming year of Sunday school and all the other activities in the church. We'll have one service on that day at 10 o'clock, and then after the service, we have a potluck, a luncheon in the parish hall. During that luncheon, you're going to hear about the various ministries that we have here in our parish, and you'll have the opportunity to get involved. That is, you will have the opportunity to find a place in this church where you can employ the spiritual gift which God has given to you. Remember that there are gifts of speech. So if you have one of these gifts, maybe you can teach a Sunday school class or provide some sort of counsel to folks who are in need of spiritual direction. Or maybe you have one of the gifts of service. This is more likely, as I say, there are more gifts of service, I think. There are many manifestations of the gifts of service. We currently have needs in our altar guild ministry, our greeter ministry, and our All Saints ministry. And if you don't know what those are, you need to come that Sunday to find out. Maybe you're gifted to work with your hands. Our folks who work with Habitat for Humanity would love to have you join them as they seek to build homes for those who are less fortunate. Maybe you have an eye for floral arrangements. If so, our Flower Guild can certainly be an avenue where you can employ that gift. These are just a few examples. If we're going to accomplish all that God has called us to do here, we need every member of the body employing their spiritual gift for the profit of all. I encourage you over the next few weeks to be in prayer, asking God where he would have you to serve in this parish. And then when you find that venue, jump in and serve for the glory of God. We have well over 400 members in this parish. Just imagine what we might accomplish if each of us employed our spiritual gift that God gave us. We could have an enormous impact on our community. It's my prayer that God will stir up in you the gift that he gave you, and that you will have the courage and the conviction to use it for the benefit of his church. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."